Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. He doesn't care about how we're feeling. He just asks us to give Him our best praise every moment of every day. So regardless of what you're feeling right now, regardless of what you're going through outside of these walls, let's just give Him our very best praise this morning. Can we do that?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Come on and give God a shout of praise, because he's worthy, he's amazing, he's loving, he woke us up this morning. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I have the ability to call on the name of Jesus. Whether my circumstances, the inconveniences, the hurt that I'm going through, I'm so glad that I have a Savior who, when I say Jesus, he's right there. And right now in this time, in our country, in our world, we are so blessed to be able to say Jesus. Jesus. Come on and say it with me, Jesus. Jesus, and he'll show up. Jesus, and he's there. Jesus, and he heals. So come on and shout his name with us. Hallelujah.
Change when we call you Jesus.
Things change when we call you Jesus.
Things change when we call your name.
Say everything changes.
change.
Come on and lift your hands and say everything.
Everything has to change. Everything has to change.
In my time of trouble, in my time of circumstance, in my time of sadness and happiness, when I call your name, things have to change because you've been so good. You did not die for nothing. You did not, oh my gosh. Lord, you've been so good to me. Has he been good to anybody else? Did you wake up this morning? Are you here once again in service? Hallelujah. Come on and sing this with me.
Say, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my,
you guys know it. I can't. Even if I tried. Hallelujah.
You've been so good.
Come on and sing that with me.
You've been so good. Sing, you have been so good.
Say to me.
To me.
If you believe it, come on and sing this with me. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough.
I owe you my life.
I owe you my life. I can't praise you enough.
Come on, even if I try.
Even if I try.
Cause God, you've been so good. You've been so good to me.
So good.
Hallelujah.
To me.
Come on and lift your hands and sing this again. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good.
You've been so good.
You've been so good.
I don't even understand.
Lord, you are good.
God,
you've been better than good. I can't praise you enough.
I owe you my life.
I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough.
Even if I try.
If I try, cause
you've been so good.
So good. Lord, you are good.
You've been so good.
You've been so good.
You with me, oh God.
You are good.
You've been better.
You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough.
Hallelujah.
I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough.
Even if I try.
Even if I try.
God, you've been good.
You've
been so good.
So good.
You've been better than good. So come on and sing that.
So many doors you've opened.
So many ways.
So many ways
so
you've
many
made.
Times.
So many times
you've
you
been
healed
better.
Me. You've been better than good to me.
So many doors,
so many doors you've
now
opened.
I can count the ways.
So many ways you've
and every time I pray,
so
when you heal my body,
in
my mind,
me.
You've
been better than good
so
to me.
Many doors.
So many doors you've
so
opened.
Many
better than good to me.
You've been better.
You've been better than good to me.
so good, God. You've been so good, God. You've been so good, God. You've made such a way. Such a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and sing this again. Say, so many doors.
So many doors you've opened. So many ways you made. So many times.
Because I feel a healing spirit in here right now. Hallelujah. So many doors you made.
So many doors you've opened.
So many ways you made. And so many times,
so many times you've
been
me.
Better
than good
so
to
me.
Doors. So many doors you've
so
opened.
Many ways.
So many ways
and
you've
made. So many times
so
you've
been many
life.
Times you've healed
you've
me.
Been better.
You've been better than good to me.
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 Not declare it.
Jesus, wonderful. Come on now. Is the truth, the life, the only way? Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? Oh, sing that again, Sarah. Isn't the name, come on, sing it, all we need? It's all you need right there. You need Jesus. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? I love you, honey. Next week. Isn't the name of Jesus? Oh, come on, sing it one more time. Sing it right from the bottom of your spirit, not your head. Isn't the name of Jesus? Isn't the name of Jesus? Come on, God, give us revelation this morning. He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. I sense the anointing. Sing it again. I sense the anointing. Hallelujah! Isn't the name? Ah, Jesus, 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 we'll honor you. Isn't the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honestly, it's all you need. You need the name of Jesus. Bible said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You see, God loves to bless his kids. He loves you. Can you turn to someone and say, God loves you? Now listen, you might not love them, but God loves them. Amen? Do me a favor. This is what I want you to do on your way back to your chair. I want you to tell three people what Jesus brought you out of. How Jesus saved you. Where you came from. Now listen, don't get into a 20-minute story. All right? Just share 5 minutes of what Jesus, how Jesus changed your life. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Be nice to people this morning. Amen? Find somebody you don't know and tell them what Jesus brought you out of. Come on, tell somebody what Jesus brought you out of. Share your testimony this morning. Come on, you still have a few minutes. Come on, tell somebody what Jesus brought you out of. Come on now, tell somebody what Jesus brought you out of.
This year, for the first time ever, we are hosting a vacation Bible school. This is going to be super exciting, super fun, and I want to invite you to bring your kids, your aunt's kids, your cousin's kids, and your next-door neighbor's kids. Sign up at histabernacle.com/VBS. Also, if you would like a chance to volunteer, go to the His Kids check-in desk and find out how you can be a volunteer that week.
Hey, HisTab peeps, listen, we want to let you know about Growth Track. This is our four-week course that we have happening every single Sunday from 9:30 until 10:30. Listen, if you want to know who we are and where we're going and how you can get involved, we want to help you discover what God can do through you.
If you want to take your leadership capabilities to the next level, then I would encourage you to join our Next Steps classes. At the Horseheads campus, our classes are Tuesday nights at 7, Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m., and then Thursday nights at 6 p.m. At the Mansfield campus, our classes are 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and at the Ithaca campus, they are Thursday at 6 p.m. I want to see you there, and I want to see you growing and able to lead people after these classes.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Good morning, His Tabernacle. That was kind of lame. Good morning, His Tabernacle. Hi. For those of you who don't know, my name is Brittany. I'm the administrator here. We just want to welcome. All right, we just want to welcome all of the guests. If you're a guest and this is your first time here, we just want to have you raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you or make you stand up or anything. We're just going to give you a gift. We got some people back here. Welcome. We have a guest reception right over here on the this side, left, your right. after service, where you can meet some of the staff and have some coffee and food. We want to welcome the live stream. If you're watching via live stream, we just welcome you. You're still part of our family, even though you're not here. If you're in the area, we encourage you to come and enjoy the service here, get the connections and all the good stuff you can get here. Who knows about VBS? Who's excited? Vacation Bible School, our first ever Vacation Bible School at His Tabernacle. It's happening August 12th through the 16th. If you're interested in volunteering, we just encourage you to go to the His Kids desk or see Pastor Aaron Stearns. Is Pastor Aaron in here? No, he's not. Okay. Well, find Pastor Aaron Stearns. If you don't know who that is, you can go to the Info Center. We can't do it without you. You know, we're expecting hundreds of kids. We played commercials in all the local news stations, so we're expecting a lot of kids, and we can't do it without all of you. And that's all I got.
Now, that's pretty good for Brittany. How many of you know that she was, like, freaking out? Here's your phone. Praise the Lord. Great things. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Before Pastor Rhonda comes up, I believe she's the one coming up this direction. I don't see her, but I'm going to trust that it's her. I do want to let you know that we went in some of the back areas and found there are two blue rock solid faith books remaining. That's it. And so if you would like to grab one of these, it's nice to have you in church today, honey. Oh. So it's if you would like one of those, they'll be back on the product table. Here you go. They'll be in the product table. If you'd like it, there's a $1 discount for him not catching them. Amen. Isaac is, you'll see Isaac in just a little bit. I'm very excited about the message today, but before the message, I just want to share with you real quickly about how great a congregation you are. Can you turn to somebody and say, you are amazing people. No, tell somebody else, you are amazing people. Listen now, I'm not kidding. You know, every single guest we've ever had come to this house, they just cannot wait to come back. We have a young man that's coming back in November. His name is Chris Estrada. Before he came to Uproar, he had just got done preaching at T.D. Jakes Church. He got done preaching at some of these other mega churches all over the world. He had just got done ministering in Peru. And he said, Pastor, I can't wait to come back to His Tabernacle Family Church. Why? Because it feels like home. And I just want to say thank you. You are an amazing people. We have an amazing body of Christ here. And my wife and I are so honored to be your pastors and so honored that you have the vision to reach this area for Christ. We're believing God for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, I shared 2 weeks ago about this opportunity that's been given to us. It's to reach 40 million households in a week. I don't know about you, that's more than two. Pastor Andre in early prayer was praying for 1 million souls to be saved. Do you realize how easy that is when you're reaching 40 million households? That's not 40 million people, that's 40 million households. And so I'm excited. We already have 1 week and 1 week and a quarter paid. People that have said, you know, I want to be part of that vision, reaching 40 million. If that's you, all you got to do is just shoot me a text. And we'd love to have you partner with us to reach all these folks. Now listen, locally we reach about 15,000 people a week. And this is what we're doing. We're believing God for no less than 10% of them to come to your chair. Turn to someone and say, don't get comfortable. Tell somebody else, don't get comfortable. Why? Well, because you're going to come in on a Sunday, someone's going to be sitting in your chair. That's my chair. Come on now, tell somebody, I don't got a chair. That's right. Don't get comfortable. In fact, I don't know. I'm feeling the need maybe to change the entire church around again just for the fun of it. Amen. We just want to say thank you so much for giving. You are such a giving church. Brother Ted was blessed last week. Tithes and offerings were great last week. And I want you to realize that the gospel is free, but running a church will cost you everything you got. Amen. It's very expensive. But we're excited because our church doesn't ever have problems. You realize we have never missed a bill in 21 years. Isn't that exciting? Our campus in Ithaca, they immediately paid for themselves. The campus in Mansfield has immediately paid for itself. The campus already in Canada is paying for itself. I want you to realize that does not happen. That is God doing His thing. And I just want to say, as your pastor, thank you for giving. If you've never tithed, I want to encourage you to be a tither. What is tithing? Tithing is saying, God, I declare you as my source. So Lord, 10%, that's what the Word of God declares, that 10% is holy to the Lord. I challenge you to be a tither. Some of you are saying, I can't tithe. I just want to challenge you. Take 2 months. Tithe. Watch God do His thing. And you're going to sit back and say, wow, I never thought it possible. How many of you, when you first tithe, thought it was a crazy thing? Amen. How many of your families told you were nuts? Amen. How many of you saw that God moved mountains? And man, you're crazy not to tithe now. Amen. Can you imagine if everybody in this church tithed? Right now, about 15% of you or less tithe every single week. Amazing if 85, let's just say another 50% of you say, I'm going to be a tither. We can do so much for Jesus. We can do so much for Jesus. God can change your life. God will bless you. God will get you out of debt. God will bless you at your job. God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine, because God cannot be outgiven by his people. Amen? So I just want to say thank you. You're an amazing people. Honey, do you want to say that too?
No, just do the bless going.
No, I'm not saying. Do you want to say thank you for being an amazing people?
Absolutely.
You've never needed a microphone before, Rhonda. It's been a very exciting week for me. I beat her in Scrabble, and I caught the only fish yesterday. Amen. If you're ready to give, let's stand to our feet. If you're a guest in the house, what we do is we bring our offerings to the Lord, and we declare the word of the Lord. How many of you know that God's word is true? My wife was just sharing with me some scientific facts that just came out. They did a study on water and words spoken to water. It's very interesting. When words were spoken to water that were death words, it actually, how did it work, Ron Jean?
It contorted
the molecules.
But good words made it
beautiful, snowflakey. I'm talking like words. I'm talking you speaking. So when you speak the word of God, you know what it does? It sends out creative power all over the universe.
And then the water that was neglected and not even spoken over rotted. It rotted.
So it's time to speak the word. Are you ready? Shout it out loud with me. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. Come on now, get your baskets out. I'm blessed in my basket. Come on, some of you got small baskets. I said, I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. Praise the Lord. We sent some of the young men out to go get me handkerchiefs this morning so I didn't spit on the front row, and they brought me back towels. What do you think they're trying to say? My name is not Teddy Shuttlesworth. Amen. We want you to know that after the service, you're going to have the ability to have your photograph taken with one of the props. And so if you would like to, you can make your way out there after service. It's called Get Unstuck. We're going to sit it right here. I'm going to do whatever my wife tells me to do. Amen. I'm a smart man. This is the year of... Oh, I can't hear you. I said, this is the year of next level. We've been talking about next level change. Oh, just the term. You know, how many of you love change? One, two, three, four. It's the kids are raising their hands simply because they want to do something different. Five, six. It's great, isn't it? How many of you love change? It's awesome. And then the rest of you are just liars. Amen. Most people hate change. And the problem is we hate change so much that we actually choose not to change, which allows us not to enter into the best that God has for us. In fact, it's amazing that past can never bring you to your future. It can't happen. So the longer you hang out with your past, you are actually abandoning where you're supposed to be going. I've watched people with the greatest talents, with the greatest giftings and greatest abilities never, ever, ever get past first base. They never even see second base or third base. Why? Well, because they feel safe on first base and are just going to stay there. I want you to know, you stay on first base too long, you're going to get thrown out. Amen. Amen. Or run over. Amen. But you're never going to hit a home run. You're never going to cross the finish line. And you and I've got to make a decision that we don't just like the concept of change. We all like the concept. How many of you want a raise at work? I said, how many of you want a raise at work? If you don't raise your hand, then make sure you give your raise back to the kingdom. Yeah, I didn't think so. How many of you want to raise at work? You like that change, don't you? We like the concept of change, but we don't like what it takes to always bring the change. Oop, come on now. Change always demands a process. And that's what we talked about last week, or actually 2 weeks ago. God's desire is to bring you to the promised land, but God can't bring you to the promised land if you love and trust your past more than you love the future and you love God. Our verse for the year is Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. I just don't know what to do with this thing. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Thank you. Here we go. Brethren, that means sister in two. Amen. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing. Everybody shout one thing. One thing. Come on, shout one thing. One thing. This one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. I want you to realize something. Sometimes what's holding you back from going to the future is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's the good thing that will hold you from the best thing. You've got to make decisions that God's best is better than your good. And when you choose that, you'll recognize that God doesn't want to just sustain you. I want to remind you that the children of Israel were sustained in the desert. They had food at their table at the front of their tent every single morning. They had quail when they complained enough. They had water, all that they needed. Water came right out of a rock. That's pretty cool, huh? And then we also know that their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes grew on their feet. If they were 3 years old when they started the venture, when they were 37, their shoes were still growing. They didn't run out of their shoes, their clothes. They didn't have to go buy new clothes. Their clothes grew on them. Supernaturally, God was taking care of them. But I want you to realize, even though they were sustained in the desert, they never reached the promised land. Many people, and this is the challenge that I find in the body of Christ, many people, they get born again, genuinely saved. I'm talking God changed their life. There's no question that God is alive and not dead. But they still love their past and they still have tentacles attached to their past to where they're never, ever, ever going to be able to get far past salvation. So they are sustained in the desert place, but never graduate to the greatest place. Sadly enough, I watch this more than I see it not, where someone starts to move forward, but yet they have a trouble come in their life, they have trials come in their life, and instead of moving forward, instead of I press on, they throw their tentacles back to their past. It's a lot like this. You see, SWAT, what happens is when you get delivered, I want you to realize that it's amazing to realize that these two guys helped deliver Isaac. I want you to know you very rarely ever hear the gospel without somebody telling you. God always uses somebody else to bring deliverance to your life. Without other people in your life, without you sharing the gospel of Christ, then no one's going to get you out of Egypt. Very few people, in fact, I think I've only met one where God actually appeared to them and they got saved that way. My roommate at Bible school found a Bible. He was in Walpole State Prison, found a Bible underneath a pillow and started reading it. That's how he got saved. But the majority of us in this room, somebody pushed you out. Somebody dragged you out. Somebody invited you to church. Someone encouraged you to get out of Egypt. And through their direction, you were able to come out of Egypt. Aren't you glad you're out of Egypt? Amen. The fact is that even though you're out of Egypt, many people are still stuck in their past. What was the job of the Israelites in Egypt? Their job was to take straw, their job was to take mud, and their job was to make concrete to build somebody else's vision. What happens to many people that are born again, they love God. I'm talking genuinely saved. Isaac, do you love Jesus? Yes, he does. He loves the Lord. And God used somebody to bring him to salvation, and now he's out of Egypt. But the problem is, he's still stuck. It's one thing to get you out of Egypt. It's another thing to get Egypt out of you. Selah. So I'll say Selah one more time. It's one thing to get you out of Egypt. It's another thing to get Egypt out of you. You see, God loves working the miraculous. Jesus took you from your lifestyle of sin and saved you, set you free. How many of you, man, you remember where you came from? How many of you know, man, you were foul? Amen. How many of you know, man, it just was that you weren't just going to die in your sin, but you were foul? Amen. You needed God to set you free. Well, I grew up in Sunday school. You grew up in Sunday school all you want. But if you never accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to the same hell as the foul people. Can I hear an amen or am I? For there's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. God loves working the miraculous. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Israel called on the name of God. And after 430 years, God brought them out of Egypt. But the problem is, very few of them got Egypt out of them. Very few of them. In fact, it took a whole generation, 40 years of people marching in the desert. 40 years. All those people, not one of them, who initially came out of Egypt, except for two, went into the promised land. Which is showing this is very powerful. It's showing by normalcy, we still hang on to Egypt. We still would rather put our faith in where we came from and what we know than in the presence and the power of God. And there's got to come a change. Because what happens is this. Is that when trials and tribulations come. When trials and tribulations come, I want you to realize. You being stuck in Egypt. Is going to make you fall. And there's nobody there to catch you. Because if I pull him over and just let him go. How you doing?
Doing good.
You a little nervous?
A little bit.
I love torturing armor bearers. They're the best. I really wanted Brother Bruce in there, but I don't know if I could have picked him back up. See, everyone in this room that's born again, you saw what God did. You saw the miraculous. You saw how he brought you out. Man, you might not have had to have the 10 plagues come. You might not have had the Red Sea open. But man, you knew where you came from. You knew how he set you free. You knew how you felt after you accepted Christ. Your sins being washed away. You're a new man and a new woman. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Man, you experienced the supernatural as the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you now says, I bear witness with you that you're a child of the living God. John chapter 1 says, and God gave you the power to be called children of God. You see, you and I are so blessed. Can I hear you give God a praise for getting you out of Egypt? Come on now, you need to praise him. I said you need to praise him. You need to give him a shout. You know where you came from. You know what God did for you. Man, I would never let a tree shout out for me. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, each one of us, God did him the miraculous. And the children of Israel experienced the same thing. They saw the miraculous. They saw not only the death angel pass over them through what's called the Passover, where all the firstborn died. None of them died because the blood was put over the doorpost. But they also ate the lamb. And when they ate the lamb, the Bible says in Psalms 105, there was not one feeble, not one sick among all the tribes. 2.5 million people, all of their children, all of grandma and grandpa's, all of their animals, every one of them when they left Egypt was completely healthy. You see, when God does a miracle, God finishes his miracle. Can I hear an amen? If God said it, it is so. It don't matter what anybody else says. It matters what the word says. For the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And if God said it, it is so.
Amen.
But Isaac's got a problem. Because even though he watched God get him out of Egypt, even though he watched God set him free, even though he watched the Red Sea open up and they walked across on dry ground, even though they watched the sea collapse upon the Egyptians and it destroyed the entire Egyptian army, even though they watched the water that was bitter become sweet all over again, even though they watched water burst out of a rock that watered over 2.5 million plus all of their livestock, time and time again, they saw the miraculous. Time and time again, they saw the supernatural. Time and time again, God set them free. Time and time again, God sustained them. But every single time, it came back to a reality. And that was Egypt, God got them out of. But Egypt never left the people. And you and I got to make some decisions. I want God's best for my life. I don't want to just get to heaven. Listen, man, if this is all about getting to heaven, then you die when you got saved. It's about you and I living on this earth. We're here right now. We're here as ambassadors of heaven. We're not here as survivors of heaven. Well, I'm just waiting for God to come. I hope he comes quick and because I don't know, it's so hard. Well, I don't know about you. Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I don't know which God you're serving, but I know the God that I serve. Cast your cares upon me, for he cares for you, is what the word of God declares. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, there's got to come back to the reality of knowing that Egypt, that everything opposite of the word, has no place in your life. All two amens. The world has no place in your life. Hold on. Thanks, Cole. You know what's amazing, though? When they were in Egypt, they hated Egypt. Do you realize you'd never leave Egypt if you didn't think it was bad? Do you realize you would never have come out of sin if you didn't realize it was bad? Do you realize you would never have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you found that it was not worth staying where you were? See, the children of Israel recognized that they hated Egypt. They recognized they hated the abuse. They recognized they hated that they were not free. They hated the fact that they had to eat their cabbage. Come on now. They'd eat nasty cabbage all the time. You think they were going to feed them good stuff? They hated the fact that they could not go where they wanted to go, do what they wanted to do. But God delivered them supernaturally. And when you got saved, it was not joining a church. It was not joining a religion. It was a supernatural transformation by the Spirit of God. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you were saved. The Bible said there was a supernatural change. Your spirit man went from death to life. You became alive in Christ. You are no longer the same person. Can I hear an amen or am I? This is not about going to church, because I know some churches that are Egypt too. They were freed from the location that they hated. But the location still owned them. Some of you, the location of your life is you're sitting in church this morning, but some of your heart is still attached to the sin nature and the sin lifestyle you used to live. And you can prove it. I'll prove it to you. Ready? Every time life gets difficult, you go back to that sin. You see, you physically are out of Egypt, but you're still stuck. You're still owned. Yes, you're going to heaven, but the fact is this, you're not free still. The Bible says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So you're already free, but you choose to still be owned by Egypt. It's a crazy thought, because no matter how many times God proved himself to be faithful, no matter how many times God proved himself to be supernatural, no matter how many times God proved himself to be the provider, no matter how many times God proved himself to be the healer, no matter how many times, every time trouble came, those that never left Egypt internally went back. How do we know that? I'll just read you a few. Exodus 14:10 at the Red Sea. They said to Moses, were there no graves in Egypt that you took us so we could die in the wilderness? What? Would you rather die? Listen, if this whole thing was to die, would you rather die in the bondage of Egypt, of the Egyptians, or would you rather die in freedom? But God didn't bring anybody out to die except to die to self. He brought us to a place of liberty and to freedom, where we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, where we have the joy of the Lord that is our strength, where we can walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, where we can walk in as more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. But every single time these Israelites came to a place of trouble, they went back to Egypt because it was still in them. That's why when people say to me, well, I hate the area, I can't wait just to get out of here. The problem is you. You're the problem. Well, you know. You're making the water look ugly. You're creating ugly thought trees in your physical brain, physiologically. You've got to make a decision that God's word is above all circumstances. That God, if he's able to deliver you, he's able to keep you, he's able to provide for you. There's nothing that God can't do. But you see, if you came out of Egypt, but you still have Egypt in you, then no matter where you go, you're still in that position to fall. And every time you fall, who's going to pick you up? I thank God he is faithful. Okay, amen? Amen. But at some point in time, I'm going to get sick and tired of holding this kid. It's amazing to me, because those who never get Egypt out of them, when they start to fall, they wonder where you are. The fact is that you didn't go anywhere. You were delivered. But they stayed in Egypt. So who left? So the problem is, why aren't you stable? You're not stable because you won't let go of your past. You won't let go of what God delivered you from. For some weird, contorted, twisted mindset in our own selves as humanity, what we know we hated, we still put more faith in than the God who truly loves us. And if we don't make this conscious change, the Bible says, bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. Romans 12 declares that we need to transform our minds by the word of God, that we need to cleanse our minds by the word of God. Well, why is that? Because we will live in Egypt. You only know what you know. You will live in Egypt until you realize you've been delivered. Once you've been delivered, you feel a sense of liberty. Can I hear an amen? Once you feel liberty, you've got to make a decision that I left there because it was bad. Why would I want to go back there? Do you think you're not going to be tempted to go back to Egypt? Do you think you're not going to be tempted to go back to your old lifestyle? Do you think you're not going to be, you think, come on now, the devil hates you so much, he'll even make it look good again. You've got to make a decision. There's nothing in Egypt that I want. I choose to get unstuck. I choose to get my feet free. I choose to run this race, not clog this race, not be pushed in this race, because that's the only way he's getting anywhere, if somebody pushes him. Some of you, that's all I've been able to do in your life. I've had to push you here and push you there. One lady said to me, I'm never coming back to that church. I said, why? She says, all you do is push, 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 push. I said, exactly. Sadly enough, I don't have to push everybody, but I have to push those who still love Egypt. When are you finally going to get sick of Egypt? When are you finally going to get sick of that old lifestyle? When are you going to get sick of your old friends? Because you know every time you hang around with them, you start cussing like them all over again. Come on now. Every time you hang around those old friends, man, you start talking that way, living that way. Man, you were doing all right with Jesus, man, until you start hanging out with those people you know you shouldn't be hanging out with because that's your Egypt. Well, I'm trying to win them for Jesus. Ah, you're full of it, man. You're not trying to save them. You can't even save yourself, man. You got to make a decision that you're not going to be playing these games. Man, this last days, I feel that anointing of prophetic coming on me right there. In these last days, God is raising up a church that we will have without spot or wrinkle. And it's going to be a people that aren't going to have to be pushed everywhere. Because once persecution begins to come upon the church, then those who have to be pushed will go back to Egypt because it's safer there than living under the auspices of God. You've got to make a decision. Do you love Egypt more than you love God? Trouble comes, you head back to the bar, baby. You start tipping it again. Well, you know, I just need peace. Baby, if you need peace out of a bottle, then you don't have God. If you need some weed to calm yourself down. Man, Well, it's legal. Really? You've got to make some decisions in your life. If you need something to give you what God's given you, then you are missing God. I don't know if you heard me or not. If you need something else to give you what God already gave you, then you're missing God. And some of you, God has said, I don't want you to talk to your old friends like that. I don't want you to go back drinking anymore. I don't want you to go back and do smoking anymore. I don't want you to do that. And man, you heard him. You know it. You know it's clear. You know it's crisp. You know it's your Egypt. But man, every single time trouble comes down your way, you're heading back to the bar. You're heading back to your friends. You're heading back to the weed. You're heading back to the girl. I'm not there yet. I was going to tell a story. I told this story once and I almost had ladies throwing things at me. Cole, did I say thank you yet for the towel? When I was in Bible school, I came to a conclusion that one girl is just not enough. Well, we're married. Hey. Are you in Bible school? No, baby, I couldn't handle any more of you than I could ever handle. You're all. I don't know. I couldn't do two. I got one, and she's a handful. But I had this girl at Bible college, but I always had this girl at home. She's hot. Her daddy was a pig farmer. She was hot. Man, she could work, play piano, could sing. I had her right there on that string. So when trouble came at Bible college with this chick over there, I'd say, gotta go home, only an hour and a half. Go see this young lady. Let me tell you something. After a while, she looked at me, she said, it's me or her? I'm thinking, hour and a half. You can't do my laundry. You can't write my papers. I'm going to have to choose the Bible school girl. Isn't that shallow? Do you guys think that's shallow? How many of you know it's true? Not about me. I was talking about you. I always had him. Always had somebody at home waiting. Why? Because if it didn't work out with the girl there, I always had somebody here. Some of you ladies, man, I don't know if you've ever seen. I don't know if you've ever seen the Juanita Bynum video called "No More Sheets." But all you single ladies need to watch that video. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, because a lot of ladies feel they got somebody in their sheets, they got some security. But I want you to realize if you don't got your stuff in order, then you're bringing your mess to their mess, and then you don't have a good pie, you have a bitter pie, because man, sheets don't fix it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But you got somebody. You got somebody. You always had that little string in the back. Come on now, can I hear an amen? Amen. Man, God set you free, trouble starts coming your way, and you run right back to the depression. You allow your brain to go right back to thinking that stinking thinking all over again. You know God delivered you. You know you were set free, but you go right back thinking the same way. You go right back to Egypt. Well, how about the offenses? Man, you a bitter, nasty person before you were born again. You beat people up, man. You spit on them. I'm talking girls and guys. You know, spit on them, told them what you really thought about them. Then you got born again. Your sins were washed away. You felt the freedom. No more bitterness. No more anger. No more unforgiveness in your heart. But then somebody offended you at church. Then somebody offended you in the body of Christ. And you allowed yourself to go right back to the same actions you had in Egypt. And now you're a believer, but walking around bitter and nasty. And I want you to realize something. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Amen. Egypt is not your booty call. Amen. You hear me? You got to make some decisions. Egypt is dead to me. Because until you do, whoa. Oh, you were nervous that time. Ah! Oh, you're going to have to just go down. Sorry. After a while, man, that's the only position you got left. That's it. Because after a while, you're going to give up. You see, what's amazing about Egypt, it's so deceptive. It actually makes you feel good when you go back to it because it's a level of control from your past. But actually what it's doing is slowly tipping you over. And after a while, you aren't a weeble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, but you ain't a weeble. And all of a sudden, there you are laying there. You can act all as cool as you want, Isaac. But you are down. Come here. He's got a job. He's my armor bearer. I need more water. Go get me more water. You can't even do what God wants you to do when you're this way. You struggle living for God. Never mind serving God. Because you love Egypt and trust Egypt more than you trust your Redeemer. If he's powerful enough to save you, he's powerful enough to heal you. If he's powerful enough to heal you, he's powerful enough to deliver you. You don't need your old booty call. God can give you a man, a woman in your life who will meet every need that you have. A woman, a man of God. By the way, if you're dating somebody that's not born again, you're in sin. That was free. Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. You shouldn't be dating an unbeliever. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. If you're married to an unbeliever, you there. You need to pray. Bible says your lifestyle will bring them to salvation. Didn't say your mouth will bring them to salvation, because some of you eat me for lunch when you get home and you wonder why your husband don't want to get born again. Because that was your old Egypt. You'd go home and talk about people, gossip about people. You got saved, God delivered your mouth. But now you're going back to Egypt. See, you can go to heaven. Well, maybe not being a backbiter. The Bible says that's the same sin as murder. But the issue is this. Do you really want to wander the desert for 40 years? Do you really want to live haphazard for God? Do you really want to get just the scraps from the table? I don't know about you. I'm abundantly blessed. Well, I know what you do. Listen, you don't know anything about my life. My wife, she's a writer. I wish I was a writer. My wife's a writer, an international speaker. God has blessed us going in and blessed us going out. Listen now. We don't live high on the hog, but we don't live low on the dog either. And the reason is because we made a choice. We're going to serve God with all of our heart, our mind, our body, soul, and our strength. We're going to serve him with our finances. We're going to serve him with our lives. We're going to serve him with everything we have. Not because we're preachers, but because I saw what Egypt was. Why would I ever want to go back there? Egypt can titillate me for just a small period of time, but it cannot sustain me. There's only one sustainer. There's only one provider. There's only one miracle worker. There's only one God. There's only one promised land. Why would I ever want to start late? Ready? Here we go. All right. How you doing? You're always wobbly when you have a hold of Egypt. You want to get out of that or not? Okay, let me help you out. Now watch. See his feet moving? Because he's unstuck. Yes. Amen. He no longer is owned by Egypt. Amen. It's not just time for you to get out of Egypt. It's time for you to get Egypt out of you. Amen. I really did want Bruce in there. You can't change your past, everybody. You can't change where you came from. but you can change where you're going. And it's time to make a decision in your heart. Because I'm giving you an epiphany this morning. That if you hang on to Egypt, you're probably going to go to heaven. Thanks, man. Every one of us this week are going to be tempted to go back to Egypt. You like the concept of change, but you don't like the process of change. And some of you have changed not towards heaven, but towards hell. If you looked at your life 5 years ago, you were more passionate about God and his kingdom and his call on your life than you are today. That is called backslidden. Well, I love the Lord. I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible says. I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Therefore, repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Return to your first works, or I'll remove your candlestick. Revelation chapter 3. Have somewhat against you. You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you. That's what the actual Greek word means. Projectile vomit you out of my mouth. Got to make a decision. March 13th, 1983. I grew up in church. The same week, my ma's in the room. Ma, was I in church the same week I was born? I was in week the very same week I was born. Everybody's doing this thing now. You're out of church 8 weeks. Your kids will be all right. Same week. Sunday morning. Sunday night, and Sunday night services didn't go till 7:15. 11 o'clock at night, then we'd always go to my grandmother's. My aunt and uncle here prove it. Sisters here. Family who was in that life lived it with me. I was almost kicked out of Sunday school. My father was the Sunday school superintendent. My uncle kicked me out of Royal Rangers, which is the Christian Boy Scouts. Sorry, Unc. I got kicked out of youth group twice. Finally, my youth pastor dragged me in the office, March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31. And he said, Spencer, get in or get out. Stop playing games. That's just no way to grow a church. But it's a way to grow heaven. See, growing heaven is different from growing a church. Because not everybody goes to church, goes to heaven. And you got to know the enemy wants to tether you to your Egypt. And you've got to make some choices. Well, I'm never going back to that church again. Listen, man, we love you coming here. But honestly, if you're not going to serve God, if you're going to go to hell, go well. I'm a proponent of that. Because there's not a nice side of hell and a bad side of hell. If you're going to go to hell, go all the way, baby. Be as evil as you can be. Do everything every sinner ever thought about doing. Break every one of the Ten Commandments 20 times. But if you're going to go to heaven, get out of Egypt. Because, man, he's got so much more for you. He's got so much power for you, so much purpose for you, so much authority for you. Oh, my goodness, dominion for you. Man, he's got so much for you. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied with wandering around the desert place. Go for it all the way, baby. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Change! By shout, change. Change. Shout, I'm going to change. Change. Tell somebody I'm out of Egypt. And I'm never going back. Bow your heads with me this morning. Maybe today you're not out of Egypt. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You heard me say earlier, it's nothing about joining church, man. It's not about being a good religious person. It's not about growing up and being Episcopalian or Baptist or Catholic or Protestant or whatever other denomination. None of those denominations are in heaven, and none of them are going to get you to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's not being a nice person. It's not being kind. It's not doing good things. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He is the only one that can open your Red Sea. He's the only one that will walk you out of Egypt. He's the only one that will sustain you and keep you and prosper you and bless you. He's the only one. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Come on, I'm not going to wait long. If you'd like to get out of Egypt, you want to go to heaven, you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt you know God, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Five, come on, get your hand up. Four, three, two. Thank you, sir. Last call. Thank you in the back. Is there anybody else? Come on, be quick, be quick, be quick. Man, I don't know about you, when I see freedom. I rode bicycle yesterday with Brandon Bonomo. He's 30 years younger than me, and I just want to say this out loud. I whooped his butt. We had gone 14 miles. We were a half a mile from where I parked my truck. And I want you to know that I was a horse that saw its stall. I got up to 24 miles an hour, baby. I hauled that thing. And man, I didn't care what it cost me. I was getting to that truck first. And baby, I got there first. Don't wait when you see freedom. Don't wait when you see forgiveness. Don't wait. It's time to jump. It's time to say yes. It's time I want to be free. One more time. You want to be saved. You want Jesus to wash your sins away. I want you to raise your hand up right now. Five, four. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, anybody else? I see it right back there. Go. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Go. Go. Get your hand up. Three, two. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. If you raise your hand for salvation, Mindy, stand up on the third. I'm going to ask you to be brave. Get right out of your chair. Can everybody turn to the person next to them, right next to them? Even if you've known them, if you've been married to them, man, you've smelled that horrible halitosis in the morning. I don't care. Look them in the eyeball and say, if you did not receive Jesus and want to, I'll go with you. Come on, tell them right now. Tell them right now. You never know, Matt might get saved. Hallelujah, I saw it. If you raise your hand for salvation or didn't raise your hand but you want to come forward, come right up now. Come, come, quick, 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 quick. Come on, give me a hand clap. Come on, quick. Come right out of your chair. Meet Mindy right here. Come on, bring somebody with you. Come on, let's go. Awesome. Mindy's going to pray with you right there. Some of you were delivered from Egypt. You were delivered from a sin. You were delivered from this. You were delivered from alcohol. You were delivered from cigarettes. You were delivered from all these different sins of your life. But you went back to them and now you feel stuck. Prayer teams, come to the front of the altar right now. You're going to get unstuck this morning. Come on, you're going to get unstuck this morning. Today, if you feel stuck and you need to be free again, they're going to lay hands on you. They're going to pray with you. Ah, folks, right over here with me, please. Right over on this side. Did you already get caught? I want you to get right over here. We're big fishermen over here. Man of God, thank you so much for being. I'm proud of you. Thank you. It's all right, bro. Jump right over. She'll pray with you too. That's right. If you feel stuck, get right in line. We need some ushers. Let's go. It's time for you to deliverance. It's time for you to deliverance. It's time for your deliverance. Don't be settled with anything but your deliverance. Don't be settled with anything but your best. Don't be settled going back to Egypt. I've made a choice. I'm never going back. Shout it out loud. I'm never going back. I can't hear you. Shout, I'm never going back. Tell the devil, I'm never coming back. I'm going all the way with Jesus. Amen. Father, release a blessing on the house in the name of Christ. I declare he who the Son has set free is free in Jesus' name. Sickness go. Disease go. Maiming go. tumors go. I command cancers to go. I command sickness to go in the name of Jesus. I command right now in the name of Christ, addictions to go in Jesus' name. For Lord, you set us free. Lord, even the addictions to people, I break off those soul ties by the power of Jesus' name, and I sever them right now in the name of Jesus. I command deliverance to come right now. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. You delivered us from Egypt. We're never going back. We're never going back. We're never going back. We're never going back. In Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement shouted, I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Don't forget, next week's the last week on this message. You don't want to miss it. And don't come alone.